In this series on Proverbs, we've been considering the sayings, the instruction, the words of a father to a son. And it's appropriate as well to consider the instruction of a mother to her daughter and that of a grandmother or a grandfather to their grandchildren. We've considered so far in this series what is wisdom and how to obtain or to get wisdom. And for a few moments today, we're going to consider how to keep wisdom and consider the creativity of the one who has given us this passage from Proverbs of a wisdom test. So let's look together for a few moments at Proverbs 4. 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The first part of the book of Proverbs is structured along the lines of a father's instructions to his son. Now, it's clear that what is important in the relation between father and child and mother and daughter in the context of parents and grandparents in the family is not merely the words that are spoken, the words that we teach, the instruction that we pass along is of importance. But we've been reminded these last several weeks and from this place before that what parents, what we breathe out, our children and grandchildren take in. This last week, I was driving in the car and was listening to the radio and was flipping radio stations. And I heard a song from the past. 1974, Harry and Sandy Chapin wrote Cats in the Cradle. A folk song that was very popular. I remember my sister, it was a song that she very much would play in her room quite a bit. And it's a story not of Harry, but of one of Sandy's friends and his relation with his father. In the song, he is depicted as a child and his father is so busy. He longs to spend time. He asks his dad, when are you coming home, Dad? The father says, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You'll know we'll have a good time then. Then the second verse, the child's now 10, and he wants to play catch with his father. And his father says, not today. I got a lot to do. And the son said, that's okay. And then when we come to the final verse, the father is now retired. The son is out of college. He's married with children and responsibilities of his own. And the father calls the son. He says, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. The son said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And then the song ends, as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Well, the author of the book of Proverbs lays instruction that his son would grow up in the way of the Lord, in wisdom and understanding. And God has given us this book that we too, as parents and grandparents, might not only teach our children and point them in the way of wisdom into the one who is all wise, but that we might grow in wisdom ourselves as well. Now, I mentioned that this passage is not only words of wisdom to a father, but it's also a test, a wisdom test. Now, it's not the kind of test that you fill out on a piece of paper. It's not a written test, but it's really more of a medical exam or medical test. When did you have your last medical checkup? Annual medical checkups, I understand, began in the U.S. in the 1920s, but they now have become less frequent than annual, so that the new term in the medical community for these annual medical exams is periodic health exams. Well, which of us has not been subjected to a doctor's exam? You stick out your tongue and he takes a close look. He looks in your eyes. He takes an instrument and peers into your ears. And he listens to the heart and he pokes around near the stomach. And he takes a mallet and he taps the knees. Well, the kind of exam in Proverbs is a wisdom exam. In this passage, there are direct references to our ears, to the heart, to our mouths, to our eyes, and to our feet. And this exam of this passage is designed that we might grow in wisdom, that we might check and discern whether we are growing in spiritual wisdom. Last evening, our president gave the State of the Union in the presidential address. Well, today, in the book of Proverbs, we have the probing of a wisdom exam. You see, the father here is not only just a teacher of wisdom, he is a spiritual doctor to his son. And he speaks of anatomy in the first part of the passage in 20 through 23 of interior anatomy, that he might keep his father's teaching. And then we see in 23, the second part of 23 through 27 of the exterior anatomy, that his eyes and his feet, his mouth would be fixed on the right way, the right course of life, the way of wisdom. Well, I thought it might be easier for us to just briefly look at these particular areas of anatomy related to this exam of wisdom. And the first is found in our opening verse 20. It has to do with the ears. He calls his son to pay close attention to his words. Literally, he says to his son, turn your ear, bend your ear, and hear what I have to say. He wants him to hear in such a way to put himself in the best position so that he can clearly understand the words of wisdom and instruction from his father. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a young couple. I'm not sure whether they were engaged or married or approaching marriage. The young man was very attentive to his friend, even in the position of the way he had turned his ear to hear with great attention her words. And we find in this passage that the father calls his son to retain, to hold on to cherish, to keep his words. And these words are personified perhaps as taking feet and walking away from his son. And so it's important that his son keep them and retain them. I think the motto of IBM is still that singular word, think. Well, the father is calling his son to think, to consider what he has written, that what he has told him would not escape from his mind or from his heart. He speaks of his son writing down the words in verse 21, that his instruction not escape from his sight. And so, as we consider wisdom, we're reminded here that we are to ponder, to carefully listen, to retain, and consider, to weigh the instruction of the Scriptures and the wisdom that we receive and learn even here in the book of Proverbs. I think the Bible yields very little to the reluctant reader. When we open the Scriptures, we are to pay very close attention, to remember what is being told us, that God is the one who, through His Word, by His Spirit, is really addressing us and speaking to us. It was the Apostle Peter who tells us, as he was speaking about the Scriptures, he writes that we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And we have the word of the prophets more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. We need to pay attention, careful consideration to God's word. And so, as we consider this whole aspect of hearing, we should ask ourselves, is my mind informed by the Scriptures? Do I listen and hear with care God's word? Do I listen to the instruction from my parents, from my father, my mother? Do I listen to the word from my eternal Father who gave His beloved Son, who spoke from heaven, saying, listen to Him? Because spiritually, we by nature are deaf or unable to hear. But the glory of the good news of the Bible and of the person and work of Jesus is that He can open our ears. He can unstop our ears. That we can listen to His word. That we can cherish it. The father to his son writes here that his words, as he carefully listens to them, will indeed be a source of strength to his life and to those who find them, who hold unto these proverbs. Will be healing even to his flesh. He reminds his son, first of all, to carefully listen. So as we consider this exam, spiritual medical exam of wisdom, we must ask ourselves, do we listen? And then secondly, he goes to the area of the heart. He calls his son to guard his heart, the things that he has received in his heart from his father. The things that he's received from his father are among the most precious and important things, worthy to be guarded more than anything else. And the author of Proverbs has already said much about the heart. Earlier he spoke of wisdom coming to the heart, of letting God's commands rest on your heart, of God's word being written as a tablet on your heart, and to holding fast to God's word in your heart. Now, as you know, with a medical exam, there is great focus upon the heart. It is an essential, vital organ. If one is to have and maintain good health, the heart must be in good, in working order. And the same is true here spiritually. Now, in the Bible, as the different Bible authors speak of the heart, they saw the heart as the core, the center of one's being. The heart was the seat of one's intentions, of one's thoughts, of one's emotions, of one's will to follow and love the Lord. It was seen as the most precious part of a person. And this possession of wisdom and instruction that is lodged on the heart is to be guarded and protected. It's seen here as a citadel where wisdom resides and is to be guarded over and diligently protected and watched. The Bible speaks of one guarding one's mouth and not speaking evil. And here it speaks of guarding one's heart and not plotting evil, not pursuing a course of life that's not in accord with wisdom. Here the heart is seen as such a central part of who we are, that if for out of it can't flow the very streams, the very issues of life. And one who was greater than King Solomon, our Savior Jesus Christ, as he reflects on this principle, he gave one of his important messages. A man, he says, is not unclean because of the food he eats, because of the clothes that he may wear, but he's unclean because of what flows from his heart, from the corruption of his own heart, that from the heart can come evil thoughts and murder. And he continues the list of slander and false testimony. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. The good man brings forth good things that he has stored up out of his heart, but the evil man brings evil things that he has stored up. And so the father teaching his son reminds his son to guard, to treasure, to hold on to these teachings in his heart. The glory of the gospel of Christ is that when we come to know Christ by faith, we are given a new heart. A Christian leader of an earlier age, John Flavel, writes on this verse in Proverbs, and he opens with these words: "The heart of man is the worst part before it is regenerated, and the best afterward. It's the seat of the principles and foundation of actions." You see, everything hangs on the condition of our hearts. And keeping the right management of our heart by God's word, by the spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ, is the great business of the Christian life. As we come to know Christ, we are united with him and we enjoy sweet fellowship and communion with him. And we are to guard our hearts that we might keep pollutants at bay. And this calls for diligence. Our hearts are somewhat like musical instruments that frequently need tuning and attention. And they can easily go out of tune. Are you ignoring your heart? Are you letting the guard down? Medically, physically, this can lead to grave danger. I remember talking with a man a couple of months ago who had signs of heart difficulty that he neglected and ignored, and it led to some severe medical problems for him. And the same is true spiritually. Christ is the one who can take our hearts and change them. He can take a heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh. He calls us to consider our ears, and he calls us to examine our heart. And he is spoken of the inner exam of our ears and our hearts. But in verse 24, he moves to what flows from our what we hear and what we take in our hearts with the mouth. And the Proverbs say a great deal about the mouth, about the words that we speak for good, for blessing, for harm, for cursing. And the metaphor he uses here is that of straight and crooked paths. He calls us with the words that we use and our speech to keep crooked and devious speech away from us. Speech that departs from the path of wisdom, the way of life that's found through faith. He wants us to swerve away from these types of speech and language that isn't fitting for one who knows the God of wisdom. I think we all know how our mouths can lead us to places where we should not go. How easily we can begin to grumble, to moan, or to gossip, to slander, to speak hatefully, to lie or misrepresent things or people. And this is a summons from the Father to the Son to keep away from all falsity in speech and to speak straightly, clearly, in a way that's appropriate with wisdom. He calls us not only to follow the right way in the words that we speak with our mouths, but he calls us to be careful with the use of our eyes. In verse 25, he calls us to examine the very movement of our eyes that we might stay focused on the right path of life. Yesterday, I saw Animal Planet. When I was visiting someone in the hospital, he was watching this particular story of this lizard who had eyes that protruded out that he could see around about 300 degrees. And the focus of this instruction is that our eyes would not be roving, but our eyes would be focused. That we would look straight forward on the path set before us of wisdom. And that we would not be having our eyes distracted or caught up with things that go against the teaching of wisdom. Our Savior said that if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, you will have great difficulty in seeing. And certainly this is true. As the Father writes to his Son, as mothers instruct their daughters and grandparents, that we might point our own children and grandchildren to be focused on the Lord and on the things that he calls us to in his word, that we ourselves would grow in this area, that we would not engage in inappropriate glancing of our eyes. I believe it was through her eyes that Eve began to fall as she saw the forbidden fruit and that it looked appealing and good to her. And I think like King David, who learned the lesson with respect to his eyes as he makes a commitment, I will not set my eyes on anything worthless. Perhaps we need to make such a resolve and commitment in our lives. Or Job, who says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I gaze at a virgin? We're to look straight ahead. We're to be focused in our vision and the direction that God would have us to go, the course of wisdom, the way of faith. How are your eyes? What do you look at? Do you find yourselves at times needing to shut your eyes or just look straight ahead to perhaps close the magazine or turn the channel, just because you want your eyes to honor and please the Lord? And the Lord Jesus is the one who can correct spiritual problems with eyesight. He can deliver us from seeing cross-eyed or lazy eyes, different ailments as they come into the spiritual arena of life as we come to Him and we look to Him. Well, finally, in this passage, He calls us to consider our feet, or He uses the singular, your foot as well here. Here is a concern with where we go, that we must be careful to take care that every step we take confirms that we are going the right way. For false stepping, misstepping spiritually can lead to great disaster. Instead, we're to be not only focused with our eyes on the right path, the straight path, as we speak straight truth from our lips, but our feet are to go in the right and straight way of wisdom. We're not to follow the crooked paths. There are many paths that cross the way of wisdom. There are many opportunities to turn into Vanity Fair and go down other paths that are not good for our own souls, that don't contain life, are not ways of God's grace and love and truth found from His Word. The Scriptures were called to follow Christ's footsteps. He has suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow. And we do so by His grace as we hear His voice through His Word. And it's His sheep follow after Him. Whoever claims to live in Him, John reminds us, must walk as Jesus did. So we want to walk in the direction of God's Word. And the wisdom precepts, the Proverbs, are like signposts at critical junctions of life. I know you've been traveling, perhaps in an area that you're not as familiar with, and how helpful it is to come to a signpost telling you perhaps where you are and where you are headed to confirm you are on indeed the right path. When I was in driver's ed, I grew up in a larger city than Columbia, and my first day of driver's ed, I was the first one behind the wheel. And I grew up in a home where we did not drive the car before we were supposed to. So that was really my first time to start a car. And within a minute and a half, I was on a major, probably the most major expressway in the town where I grew up. And as I was driving, in those days, driving guides, driving teachers had, there was a set of pedals and a wheel in the passenger seat. All of a sudden, I noticed he was pulling me back. I was on Central Expressway in Dallas, Texas, and it was afternoon, and there was traffic, and I was veering out of my lane. I didn't know it. It was my first time behind a wheel. And he pulled me back. And here we're reminded that we're not to swerve in the way that's not according to God's path for our lives. Now, as we think about this exam and all these different components of this spiritual checkup, what does it reveal about your life? Perhaps there are areas of deficiency. The truth is that we are all deficient. We are not born wise. We are born in affected by sin and corruption, born as the fool. But the Lord is able to change us, to work in our lives. If we lack wisdom, we're instructed in God's word to ask for it, to go to God, that He is able to instruct us. And certainly as we open His word, the book of Proverbs and other books, we find the way of life through faith in our Savior. This passage leads us to Him, for He is the one who is all wise. He is the one who is perfect as we consider this spiritual checkup. And as we come to know Him, He becomes our wisdom. He gives us grace and help. And I was talking with a member of my family who's reading through the book of Acts. And this member, he said that he was struck in the book of Acts when Peter and John were brought before the council, and they spoke with great boldness and courage. And it was recognized that they had been with Jesus. It's indeed as we are with our Savior Jesus Christ, know Him and love Him and spend time with Him in His word, that we grow in wisdom according to His grace by His word. Well, let's give thanks to Him that He's such a good Savior. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You this day. We bow before You, acknowledging Your wisdom. We acknowledge our own foolish hearts, our need for Your insight, for Your direction. We thank You for our Savior, who is all wise. And we pray that as we grow in Your word and in grace in Christ, that we might be marked by those who are growing in wisdom, and that we might point others to Your word and to Your ways. In Christ's strong name, amen.